Greetings in Jesus' name. I chose that song right before the message because I want to talk about the infinite God. And I like this song because it does a very beautiful job at bringing out the infinite or the infinitude of God and how frail and little we are. I don't know if you thought about those words. Hopefully you were thinking about what you were singing. Great God, how infinite art thou, how poor and weak are we. What a contrast. And then in verse 4, our lives through various scenes are drawn and vexed with trifling cares. While thine eternal thought moves on, thine undisturbed affairs. So this song contrasts the infinitude of God and the frailty and the weakness of man. And when we take the cares that we have in this life that seem so big to us at times and compare them to God's infinitude, then they suddenly seem small. And this song calls them trifling cares. And while we battle with our trifling cares, thine eternal thought moves on, thine undisturbed affairs. God has all of it in his plan. So I want to talk about God's infinitude for a little bit this morning. Infinitude means limitless, and it's impossible for a limited mind to grasp the unlimited, to grasp something that we cannot. The infinitude of God. And so it's impossible for me to preach the infinitude of God and to explain the infinitude of God. And even if I could, it'd be impossible for your minds to understand it. And so together, we want to stretch our minds a little bit this morning and strengthen our faith in God. Because everything that we know here on earth has limits. Everything has limits. We have limitations. Man can do some amazing things. And I was listening to an audiobook. I actually didn't listen to the whole thing, but I started listening to it about the Tarahumara Indians of Mexico that had amazing health and strength that could run for miles. It was quite amazing. But even they had their limits. They had their limitations. They can only run so far. We have a limit of time. The psalm says our lifespan is 60 years and by reason of strength, 70. And today man can outlive 70 years by far, but we still have limits of time. We can rush around trying to be as many places as we can get to and get as much done as we can, but we have limits. We can only be one place at one time. We can only get a certain amount of things done in a day. There's a limit to knowledge. Yes, we have astronomers, we have biologists, we have experts in different areas that study deeply into certain things, and they're very wise, have very much knowledge, but even they have limited knowledge. And you bring all that knowledge together and you put it in an encyclopedia or you put it on the internet, and the wealth of knowledge that is on there is incredible, but it still has its limitations. Perpetual motion is something that man has tried to invent for years, trying to get a device that will run without an energy source, that will run indefinitely without an energy source, but it's impossible because infinitude only belongs to God. Everything that we know on earth we measure. Weight is measured by the gravitational pull. How many ounces is that, or how many pounds is that, or how many ton is that? And we weigh it by the gravitational pull. And weight is relative. A baby that is born that weighs 10 pounds, we say, well, that's a big baby. But you take a 10-pound baby against a 250-pound man, and we say that baby is tiny. You take that 250-pound man and stand beside a blue whale, it makes the man look small. But nothing can be compared to God. We can't compare anything to God. There's nothing to say, okay, we're going to put this up against God and compare it to him, because nothing can be compared. We measure distance. Distance is a measurement of space between two objects. Length is the measurement of an object. We say this is 2 feet long, or it's a mile long, or it's 150 miles between here and there. And that is measuring distance and length. Children like to measure themselves to see how much they grew each year. You stand against a doorpost and you lay a stick across, you mark it on the doorpost and you measure it. Next year you do it again and you grew so much. But there is no measuring for God. Liquid is measured in quarts and pints and gallons. An engine has so much horsepower. Lights have so much candle power. Speed is measured in miles per hour or feet per second. And we say a car can do 0 to 60 in so many seconds, and it's measured. We have cell phone plans, and some of them are unlimited, but they are limited to only what we can use in a month. And so everything we know has limits. We measure it. But God is outside of all those things. He is outside of everything that we measure, everything that we know, everything that has limitations. We can't begin to measure God. There is no limit to his power. There's no limit to his love or his mercy or his time or his knowledge or his wisdom. There's no limit to any of his attributes. And we're going to briefly look at a few of his attributes, but this morning we want to focus on his infinitude. But his infinity affects all his different attributes, because there's no limit. 1 Kings 8:27 says, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded?" And we look at the universe and how massive it is. Astronomers are always looking for more powerful telescopes, finding out more and more stars and more galaxies, and they continue to search, and it's beyond what man knows. And yet, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. He is not limited to space. As we consider the infinitude or the limitlessness of God, I believe it will help us with our trifling cares. Just simply to stop and to think about, God is unlimited. There is no limitations. And it's good for me to think about that. And suddenly the cares, the trials that I have, are trifling cares. Because this infinite God that the heaven of heavens cannot contain comes and dwells in each one of us and takes an interest in the minute details of our lives. Isn't that amazing? That this God that the heaven of heavens cannot contain will come and dwell within us. And he takes interest in every little detail of our lives. We can worship God because he is infinite. I came across a hymn that I had never heard before, and I don't have the music to it, but I'd like to read it to you because I believe it is very fitting to this subject, and it's called The Greatness of God. O majesty unspeakable and dread, wert thou less mighty than art thou? Thou wert, O Lord, too great for our belief, too little for our heart. And then he goes on to explain what he means. If God was slightly less than infinite, if he was slightly less than who he is, then he goes on to verse 2. Thy greatness would seem monstrous by the sea or by the measurement, which is what we know. As we measure, he would seem big to us. Of creatures frail and undivine, yet they would have a greatness of their own, free and apart from thine. Such grandeur were but a created thing, a specter, terror, and a grief, out of all keeping with a world so calm, oppressing our belief. But greatness, which is infinite, makes room for all things in its lap to lie. We should be crushed by a magnificence short of infinity. Did you catch that? We should be crushed by a magnificence short of infinity. It would outgrow us from the face of things, still prospering as we decayed. And like a tyrannous rival, it would feed upon the wrecks it made. And then, in the last verse, it says, but what is infinite must be a home, a shelter for the meanest life, where it is free to reach its greatest growth, far from the touch of strife. That's what the infinitude of God is. If God were magnificent, but less than infinite, he would be a tyrant. He would be a rival. He would be something to be feared, something that is above us, but not something we can trust in. He would outlive, outpower, outnumber us, but he would not be one that could strengthen us, give us life and grace and peace. He could not give us eternal life. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life can only come from the infinite. It can't come from anywhere else. True, eternal life can only come from the infinite, because he is the only one that can give eternal life, life without limits. God's gifts and nature have their limitations. We all have different gifts. We have different talents in life, but they are finite because they have been created and they have their limitations. The gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus is as limitless as God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. And we think of the infinitude of God as we read these verses. Second Peter 1 and starting at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Being partakers of the divine nature, and every time I read that verse, it just amazes me again. And I know I've brought this verse up before, but it just amazes me every time I think about this. And as I thought about the infinitude of God and the how that affects all of his being, all of his nature, and that we can be partakers of this divine nature. It is available to us. The divine gifts that we become partakers of have no limit, just as God is limitless. It is because these gifts are who he is, not what he has, not something he possesses. If it is who he is, then they have no limit, because God is limitless. He is infinite, because God's nature is infinite. Everything that flows out of him is infinite also. And it is a blessing and a privilege this morning to be able to turn from our limitations to a God that has no limitations. I just want to briefly think about the mercy of God. Turn to Romans 5. The mercy of God is infinite. Romans chapter 5 and start reading at verse 15. But not as, and we're kind of breaking into a thought here, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. A.W. Tozer said, abounding sin is the terror of the world, but abounding grace is the hope of mankind. Sin is left to the imagination of the created, limited mind. Regardless of how far a person has gone into sin, the grace and the mercy of God can reach far enough and pull him and save him from that sin. All of us were born sinners, and all of us have sinned. 1 John talks about that, where we all have sinned. Whenever we sin, we can go back to the grace of God, and it is there for us. It's always there. It's always available. Not that we live carelessly. Romans 6 here talks about, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Not that we live carelessly, but when we do fail. 1 John says that we have an advocate with the Father, and the grace is available as much as we need. When we get, if you can picture this, when we get to the end of life, maybe an angel will add up all of our sins, and throughout life we have failures in life. Maybe we add up, and if you can picture one of those old calculators that have the receipt printer, you know, it keeps spitting the receipt out, and he'll start adding up all of our sins, and the receipt will get long, maybe stretched. Maybe my sins receipt will stretch to the back of the church or longer. And he looks, and then God says, well, here, add up my grace. And so he starts adding up the grace, and the grace stretches a little bit farther than what the receipt of our sin. It's always a little bit more. It's always what we need. God's mercy and grace will cover it. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. The love of God is infinite. And we could spend more time talking about the mercy and the grace and a lot of time talking about the love of God. But we're talking about the infinitude of God this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you think about it when we were reading those verses? All the things that he says can't separate us are all things that have limitations. The height, the depth, the things that we measure. All these things have limitations, and they cannot separate us from a love of God that has no limitations. If the mercy of God and his power to save us is infinite, then the love of God is infinite and will carry us through anything in life. He talks about these different things here, tribulations, the pressures, the afflicted, the anguish, the burdened, troubles of life, distress, calamity, and anguish that we face, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and even sword and death. Regardless of what we go through in life, God's love goes beyond it. God's love goes beyond that. because all of these things that we face in life are temporal. They have limits, but God's love has no limits. The wisdom of God is infinite. God has given man a measure of wisdom, but the wisdom of God far outgoes the wisdom of the wisest man. All of what God does and allows is done in his infinite wisdom. Divine wisdom devises perfect ends, and he will achieve those ends by the most perfect means, and that is his divine wisdom. That is why, in spite of the fears, the tears, and pain we face in life, we can trust in an infinite God and believe that he who made us all is infinitely wise and good and loving. And we can trust in that this morning. Abraham, in spite of what he was asked to do, it says, staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Instead, he was strong in faith. He believed in an all-wise God, an infinitely wise God. And he was fully persuaded that what God was doing, he knew all about. He knew what was going on, and he was able to perform it. But this takes faith. Faith is, no matter how things look in this fallen world, believing that all God's acts and what he allows is done in infinite wisdom to achieve his perfect end. I want to close with a poem that says, This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Let's kneel for prayer.